Welcome to the Deep Dive. For months, maybe years now, generative AI has been this huge headline, right? A big promise, tons of hype.
Oh, definitely.
Hard to avoid.
But here we are in 2025, and, you know, the conversation feels different. It seems like it's officially moved out of the labs and onto the front lines of actual business operations. We're talking Fortune 1000 companies here.
Yeah, these aren't just little pilot projects anymore. We're seeing real world, pretty massive deployments. They're tackling tangible business challenges now.
So our mission today is basically a shortcut for you, the listener. We want to extract the most practical, maybe even surprising, examples of how these big U.S. companies, think Walmart, Morgan Stanley, John Deere, how they're using Gen AI right now.
Getting past the buzzwords.
Exactly. We want to look at the mechanics. How are they boosting productivity? How are they changing customer service? Streamlining those complex partnerships? This is the practical reality, you know, the nuts and bolts of AI adoption today. And the scale, I think that's what's really striking. We're seeing these established giants, I mean, in everything from retail and finance to heavy industry, adopting these large language models, LLMs, the tech behind things like ChatGPT.
Right.
And they're using them to, well, rapidly infuse instant expertise into basically every layer of their operation.
Instant expertise. I like that framing.
Yeah. And crucially, the common thread, it really doesn't seem to be about replacing the human workforce. It's much more about augmenting it. Profoundly augmenting it.
So making people better at their jobs.
Pretty much. Making existing employees instantly better and also engaging customers in ways that just weren't possible before.
Okay, let's unpack that. Starting where I guess most of us might encounter these technologies day to day.
Yeah.
Retail and e-commerce.
Good place to start.
The immediate shift here seems to be Gen AI acting as this tool to, like you said, democratize specialized knowledge.
Yeah.
And maybe even more importantly, create these super personal shopping experiences.
Exactly. And the best examples, they really show that scale matters. For the big retailers, that often means building their own models.
Their own LLMs.
Yeah, models customized specifically to their products, their inventory, their pricing systems. It gives them much more control and relevance.
Okay, so a perfect case then is Walmart. They actually developed their own LLM. Tuned for retail,
Let's
right?
Tell
you. Call it Wallaby.
Wallaby. Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
And they're using this as the brain for their AI customer care chatbot. The goal is handling those profoundly personal interactions, as they put it.
Which means it's not just a basic FAQ bot.
No, not at all. Wallaby is designed to recognize you, track your purchase history, and actually process complex actions right there in the chat. Things like finding a specific old order or starting a return.
Without needing to hand you off to a human agent immediately. That's a big step up.
Definitely. Now, if Walmart is handling the sort of customer care logistics, high-end retail seems focused more on personalized styling.
Yeah.
Ralph Lauren, for instance.
Oh, yes. Ask Ralph.
Ask Ralph. Exactly. It's basically an AI stylist. So mm-hmm. instead of you scrolling through pages and pages of clothes, you just use natural language. You type or maybe even speak a prompt like, what should I wear to a fall wedding in the mountains?
And the utility there is immediate, right? It's not just showing you random shirts.
Right.
Ask Ralph supposedly analyzes that natural language prompt against their current inventory and recommends a complete outfit, down to the shoes, the accessories, everything.
So it's like having a personal stylist on call 24/7.
Pretty much. Blending that high-touch luxury feel with, you know, instant digital personalization, it's quite clever.
But shifting gears slightly, if we look inside the store, maybe the real power of Gen AI in retail is how it helps the actual employees.
Absolutely. This is where that democratization of knowledge really comes into play. You're talking about bridging those knowledge gaps on the floor.
Okay, like Lowe's. I know they rolled out something.
Exactly. Lowe's rolled out the Milo Companion. It's an AI assistant specifically for their retail associates, and they put it in over 1,700 stores.
Wow, that's broad.
It is. And this is where you really see that knowledge democratization shine. Because think about it. What's the core value of a place like Lowe's?
Well, they sell products, but they also sell expertise, right? The know-how?
Precisely. So the Milo Companion gives the store staff instant access to product details, sure, but also inventory levels and, crucially, expert how-to advice.
Like DIY help.
Yeah, grounded in Lowe's own history of home improvement knowledge. So imagine a new hire, maybe it's their second week, and a customer asks, hey, how do I fix a leaky faucet in a house built in the 70s?
Okay, yeah, that's specific.
Right. Instead of that associate having to, I don't know, frantically flip through manuals or track down the one veteran employee who knows old plumbing.
They just ask the companion.
They ask the companion, and it provides expert guidance instantly. This speeds up customer service like crazy, but it also helps new associates feel and act much more confident, almost like seasoned pros, really quickly. It accelerates that onboarding process.
That idea of instant expertise,
yeah,
that feels like the perfect bridge to our next section, financial services, because there, time literally equals money.
Mm-hmm.
So if retail is using GenAI to democratize product know-how, finance seems to be using it for the sheer speed of knowledge, turning these massive proprietary research vaults into real-time analysis.
Yeah, and what's fascinating there is how it fundamentally shifts the role of the financial advisor. What happens when an advisor can tap into the entire bank's compliant, vetted knowledge base, basically in the time it takes to say, just one second?
The answer apparently is Morgan Stanley. They rolled out the AI at MS Assistant.
Oh, right, powered by GPT-4.
One of the biggest foundational models out there.
Yeah.
And they gave it to, what, around 16,000 financial advisors.
A huge rollout.
And the key outcome wasn't just finding documents faster. It was about the AI synthesizing and summarizing massive amounts of proprietary research market analysis instantly, like during a client call.
Which means no more, okay, that's a great question about that sector. Let me do some research and I'll get back to you next week.
Exactly. That delay is gone.
And that speed, it matters for a couple of key reasons. First, obviously, it makes the advisor seem incredibly prepared, which boosts client trust.
Sure.
But second, and this is really critical context from the sources we looked at, because the answers are pulled from vetted internal bank documents, it significantly lowers compliance risk.
Ah, good point. Compared to an advisor quickly Googling something on the fly.
Precisely. This keeps everything within the bank's approved information ecosystem.
And the adoption rate speaks for itself, right? Something like 98.5% of advisor teams were using it by early 2024.
Staggering adoption.
Yeah.
Which really implies the firm sees this less as an option and more as a mandatory enhancement. It frees up advisors, as they say, to be more human.
Meaning?
Meaning focusing on strategy, on understanding the client's emotional needs, building that relationship rather than spending hours on manual research tasks.
That adoption rate, yeah, it tells you the C-suite definitely believes in the ROI here. And Morgan Stanley isn't flying solo on this.
No, not at all.
If we look at broader process automation, JPMorgan Chase seems to be making an even bigger, more sweeping push.
Mm.
They're rolling out a custom LLM suite too. 140,000 employees.
Yeah, the scale there is enormous. And their internal targets reflect that. JP Morgan is apparently expecting up to, what, $2 billion in productivity gains just from automating workflows with these tools?
$2 billion, wow.
Yeah, and they're not just aiming it at the high-level advisors. They're using GenAI to help with a whole range of things, sophisticated stuff like optimizing operational services or improving fraud detection, but also more routine tasks like helping draft code or complex regulatory reports.
So it's really about augmenting work processes across the entire organization.
That's the picture, yeah. Reaching into almost every corner of the banking process.
Okay, so let's move from the balance sheets of finance to something maybe a bit more creative. Consumer goods. This is where we see GenAI being used for both marketing innovation and tackling some really fundamental, almost existential business threats.
Right, and Coca-Cola is a fantastic example here. They've kind of dipped their toes in both ends of the pool.
How so?
Well, on the fun creative side, they used AI almost as a collaborator. They launched that limited edition soda Y3000.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. The AI created flavor.
Exactly. Marketed as the first flavor co-created by humans and AI. And they also ran that public contest, Create Real Magic, where they invited people to use DALL-E 2.
That's the image generation AI.
Right, to generate unique artwork for the Coke brand. So using AI for inspiration, for marketing buzz, for engagement.
Which is interesting, but maybe not world-changing.
Perhaps not. But what's genuinely surprising, I think, is their work on the supply chain side. Coca-Cola actually co-founded MIT's Generative AI Impact Consortium.
Yeah.
And their very first big project is called, get this, Save the Orange.
Wait, Save the Orange? You mean like literally AI is saving Brexit juice?
It kind of is. It's a far cry from asking a chatbot what shoes to wear, right?
Yeah.
This project is using generative AI, specifically its power and pattern analysis on huge data sets, to fight citrus greening disease.
Which is a huge threat to oranges globally.
Massive threat. And obviously crucial for Coke's juice business. So this isn't just some marketing fluff. This is large-scale collaborative data science trying to secure a critical raw material supply chain. That's strategic.
that really highlights the difference between a novelty pilot project and a core strategic imperative. Okay, speaking of strategic impact, let's talk about internal speed and maybe even morale. Did these AI co-pilots actually make people better or faster at their jobs?
Well, according to a pretty striking study by Procter & Gamble P&G, the answer seems to be yes.
Okay, what did they find?
They worked with researchers from Harvard and Wharton, involved almost 800 employees, using P&G's own proprietary GenAI platforms. They wanted to measure the impact on innovation speed.
And the result?
The measurable result was clear. Teams using the GenAI tools were about 12% faster in developing new product ideas compared to teams that didn't have them.
12% faster. That's significant.
It is. But the sources suggest the real insight wasn't just the time saved, it was how the tool functioned. It acted like a creative partner, one that, never gets tired or bored.
A tireless brainstormer.
Sort of.
Yeah.
And critically, it helped bridge knowledge gaps between different functions within the company.
Okay, give me an example. Like a marketing person working with a scientist.
Exactly that kind of scenario. Imagine a marketer trying to brainstorm a new detergent scent with a chemist. The AI could instantly synthesize complex technical data for the marketer and at the same time provide relevant market trends to the chemist.
Ah, so they're both starting from a more informed place.
Precisely. Leading to ideas that were more balanced, more cross-functional right from the get-go. And apparently this also boosted employee morale and engagement.
How so?
Well, think about that awful blank page problem when you start a creative project. The AI helped mitigate that instantly, giving people a starting point, making the process feel less daunting and more collaborative.
That makes sense. Okay, so this connects nicely to our next area, which is where these digital tools meet the really complex, often expensive, world of physical stuff. Industrial and manufacturing.
Right, applying AI to tangible assets.
Think about John Deere. They're dealer technicians. These are the people keeping those huge, expensive tractors and combines running interwheeled. They historically spent hours, sometimes days, digging through thousands of pages of manuals.
Repair histories, service bulletins, a mountain of paper or digital docs.
Just to diagnose one specific problem. And all that time is downtime for the farmer, which is incredibly costly.
Yeah, this is a textbook case for leveraging LLMs. You're capturing and organizing decades of institutional knowledge.
So the AI solution here is basically a GenAI tool that can instantly parse that entire mountain of technical documents.
Exactly. And provide precise diagnostics, suggest the right parts lists, outline the repair instructions, all in a conversational way.
Turning hours of searching into seconds of asking a question.
Pretty much. The direct benefit is slashing that equipment downtime, which helps the dealer partner and, most importantly, the farmer who needs that machine working.
And does this support extend beyond the repair shop?
It does. It goes right out into the field, actually enhancing systems that are already pretty complex. John Deere has things like See and Spray.
That's the tech that uses cameras to only spray weeds, not the crops, right?
That's the one. AI complements this by providing real-time, data-driven advice, maybe suggesting optimal settings based on current conditions or giving pre-season recommendations for chemical use based on past yield data, weather forecasts, specific field conditions.
So it's integrating AI much deeper into the actual operation and the product itself.
Yeah.
We're seeing that in automotive too, like General Motors with OnStar.
Yes, exactly. GM's working with Google to integrate more conversational AI into OnStar. The goal is to move away from those rigid, scripted voice commands.
Make it feel more natural.
Yeah, much more natural. An augmented system that actually understands the intent behind what a driver is saying and responds naturally for everything from checking vehicle diagnostics to scheduling a service appointment. It's meant to feel less like talking to a computer and more like talking with a helpful co-pilot.
And beyond the dashboard, AI is even influencing how the cars are designed, physically designed.
Definitely. Generative design software is a big area here. You use AI algorithms to explore thousands of design possibilities for physical parts, often optimizing them in ways humans might not think of.
Like making components lighter but stronger.
Precisely. Lighter, stronger, using less material. That trend is absolutely spreading across heavy industry. We saw forecasts suggesting something like 75% of automakers were planning GenAI integration by the end of 2024.
Wow.
And it's not just cars. Boeing's experimenting with generative design for aerospace parts. Siemens Energy is using a ChatGPT-based assistant to help field engineers troubleshoot huge power turbines faster by letting them just query the technical docs conversationally.
So across this whole industrial sector, the goal seems to be reducing friction, maximizing uptime for these really complex, expensive physical assets.
That's the core driver, yes. Operational efficiency powered by instant knowledge access.
Okay, so let's step back for a second. We've covered a lot of ground, from personalized retail chats to high-stakes financial analysis, creative consumer goods, and deep industrial diagnostics. What's the overarching theme here?
Well, I think it's pretty clear. Gen AI is being deployed as this kind of universal co-pilot.
A co-pilot? How do you mean?
It's supporting employees, right. Answering their questions instantly, helping draft complex content like we saw at P&G or Morgan Stanley. It's delighting customers with those personalized experiences like at Walmart or Ralph Lauren. Mm. And it's strengthening partnerships, whether it's dealer support like John Deere or potentially even supply chain forecasting like Coke is aiming for.
And the key message from the execs pushing this seems consistent.
Absolutely. Citing studies like the P&G one, the emphasis across the board seems to be on augmentation, not replacement.
They see AI as providing a powerful boost to human creativity, human decision-making.
Which ultimately frees up employees to focus on those uniquely high-value human tasks. Like you said, Morgan Stanley's advisors spending more face time engaging clients, understanding needs, building trust, instead of just digging for data.
But we should inject a note of reality here too, right? It's not all smooth sailing.
No, absolutely. We have to remember the critical context. While these success stories are real and they are measurable, the sources we looked at also cautioned that adoption is generally very pragmatic.
Meaning cautious.
Cautious, often using proprietary, walled-off models, lots of internal training. And the industry is keenly aware that, historically, a majority of experimental AI projects have actually failed to deliver clear ROI.
Right. So it's not like they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall.
And not the successful ones, no. They seem to be proceeding thoughtfully, focusing on secure applications where the benefits are measurable and where the human element is genuinely augmented, not sidelined.
Okay, and that caution, that focus on augmenting human skills, that leads us perfectly into our final thought for you, the listener.
Mm-hmm.
If all this institutional expertise, this deep company knowledge, the kind that used to take years of mentorship, experience, and study to really acquire, if that can now be instantly queried and summarized by an AI co-pilot, like we saw so clearly at Morgan Stanley with finance or John Deere with mechanics.
Yeah, the implications are huge.
Then how do we make sure the next generation of employees, or even current ones, don't become completely reliant on just getting the instant answer? How do we protect and maybe even cultivate the critical thinking skills needed to question the AI's output, to challenge it rather than just accepting it wholesale?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? What skills become paramount when knowledge itself is instantly available?
Something to definitely mull over. We'll leave you with that thought until our next deep dive.